Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues show. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by a recent kindred spirit that I've come across, Mr. Jarvis Gray. Jarvis Gray is the managing director of the Quality Coaching Company, where he offers 12-plus years of strategic planning, quality improvement, and operations leadership experience in the healthcare industry. Jarvis has been an effective partner in working with highly notable organizations in the healthcare field, earning a reputation as a go-to resource for facilitating strategic decisions and driving successful implementations. Through his company, the Quality Coaching Company, Jarvis and his associates help healthcare organizations deliver on their promise to advance quality, safety, and person-centered patient care. Jarvis has a Bachelor of Industrial Engineering from the University of Miami, as well as a Master of Project Management from Western Carolina University, and a Master of Healthcare Administration from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. He's also a certified project management professional, as well as a Lean Six Sigma Black Belt. So I think it's safe to say that Jarvis knows a thing or two about healthcare and operational excellence. So let's go ahead and get started. Jarvis, thank you so much for agreeing to be a guest on the show today. We had to fill in at the last minute, and Jarvis stepped up to the plate. I really appreciate that. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I couldn't be better. Thank you so much for asking. So let's go ahead and get right into this because there's so much to say, and I know this will be a topic of great interest to everyone who's listening, regardless of whether we are in the healthcare industry or not. We are all affected by and impacted by things that take place within healthcare. But I'm wondering, before we actually delve into what you do specifically, Jarvis, can you first give us a reminder of what Lean Six Sigma is?
Absolutely. And Alicia, first, just want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on this great platform to connect entrepreneurs and small business leaders. So I'm honored to support the movement. Now, Lean Six Sigma, and especially in our healthcare world, is really the pulse of quality and process improvement that we use to eliminate waste and defects and variation from processes that allow for better operations, safer operations, and really a flow of work to meet patient needs and to meet customer needs overall.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that official definition. And I know for so many of us, whether we are just going to the doctor for a checkup visit, or even if we have to go to the hospital, especially the emergency room, it's usually an unpleasant experience. And I'm wondering, Jarvis, can you describe how you actually implement quality control in healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely. So some of the first steps that we actually take is an assessment of sorts, and it's looking into an organization's culture for quality and their culture for accepting change in quality and process improvement. And then the second assessment that we start off with, even before we jump into the projects, is assessing their strategic management processes. So even looking beyond just the strategic planning work, but also looking at the tools and the templates, the techniques, things they may have in place to monitor the implementation of their strategic plan initiatives. Once those two elements come into really good alignment, that's where we'll start to frame out and prioritize many of the projects and process improvement initiatives based on strategic alignment. From there, it's kind of a mix of different approaches. I personally think I guess I've learned over time to really sit back and call it problem solving versus to tell a client or any of the organizations I'm partnered with that we're going to do a lean initiative or a Six Sigma initiative. It really works out better to frame it up as problem solving, and that way they don't kind of corner themselves into one mindset. But from there, you know, I'm coaching and I'm training the teams really on the mix of methodologies that we need to use. In the healthcare world, we are seeing a lot more lean initiatives than anything, but again, it's kind of how you sell it and how you promote, you know, the approaches for quality improvement, but a lot more lean nowadays than what I've been working on over the past 12 plus years.
And what do you mean by that when you say there's a lot more lean?
Well, a lot more, I guess, a lean-centered focus. So looking at a lot of our operations and, you know, going through the steps of identifying the waste that exists within them and utilizing tools like the A3s or Kaizen events. So, you know, because of the way that health professionals are scheduled around their work, you know, and their day-to-day jobs, sometimes we do utilize a number of rapid improvement events or those Kaizen events to make the most of their time, you know, within that 1 to 3 day time frame.
Do you find that healthcare professionals object to people who do not have, let's say, to people who are not necessarily doctors or nurses? Do you find that there's, I don't want to use the word animosity, but
sure.
Do you find that sometimes they look at a person like you and say, well, wait a minute, you don't have a medical degree, or, you know, you have a background in industrial engineering, so who are you to come in here and tell me about how to provide better quality health care? Do you run into that?
Well, so I have run into it. I don't think I run into it as much now because I'm much more experienced on how to navigate through the culture, and so that's exactly why assessing culture starts, you know, is the start of some of our work. When I first came into healthcare, I've literally had the conversations with nurses and doctors like, why are you here? You're an engineer. You don't understand us. They were very direct giving me that feedback, but, you know, the approach, we say it in the lean mindset, go to the Gemba. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I literally would take off the shirt and the tie and put on some scrubs and go spend shifts with a lot of these leaders. So, you know, if it's weekend shifts, night shifts, day shifts, and really try to understand their world, put myself in their shoes, so to speak, even though I wasn't touching the patients, I was right there with them asking questions and, you know, really trying to learn. So I pride myself in that. You know, I had to kind of take a step back and not get offended when I was, you know, directly confronted with those personalities, I guess. But
mm-hmm.
it really helped me as a professional to walk in their shoes, but I think it also helped close the gap because I will never be in a position to save a life the way that a lot of our caretakers do, but to appreciate their work and then to help them make the work easier and more efficient. That's very much where I've, I guess, gained a reputation and appreciation of the folks that I've assisted.
What you just said reminded me of a conversation that I had with Andrea Smith. She's a marketing expert, and this was back in episode 20. And Andrea said, you know, one way to think about the relationship between marketing and operations is, as a result of marketing and branding, you are making some type of a promise or a guarantee. And your operations represents the things that you do to make sure that you can actually fulfill that guarantee or that promise. And listening to you just now made me think, okay, so if we had to apply that to healthcare, the promise obviously is for quality care, right?
Absolutely.
And so I would imagine that everything that you do from an operations perspective is to make sure that you are working with these healthcare professionals and providing systems and processes and recommending certain tools and certain people even to ensure that they are able to deliver on that promise of quality care. Would that be a correct assessment or definition?
No, absolutely. That's a perfect assessment. I love sharing this story because I do it so frequently. When I work with a number of teams and we are doing those Kaizen events or, you know, even if we're just kind of framing out an A3 project template, I will take a picture of my grandmother and put it on the board, you know, within the office that we're working on. And anytime the conversations get, you know, when my teams get frustrated because, you know, we're trying to problem solve and everybody has their versions of solutions, or if the conversation goes where, you know, we're considering one group more than the other group's needs, I always point back to my grandmother, and I tell them that's the patient that they're taking care of. And so that's the focus with all the work that we're doing, is trying to make care that much better for my grandmother in this case, or any of the hundreds of patients that will come through the facility during that week or that month.
That's awesome. You know, I would imagine that keeps everyone grounded as well, so that you don't lose sight of why you're there in the first place.
No, absolutely. Right. And it feels good when the teams actually will beat me to the punch and they say, wait, is that going to make Jarvis's grandmother happy? And so, you know, it's a way to personalize it to keep everybody honest on what we're trying to fix.
Yeah, that's great. Now, Jarvis, you mentioned a couple of tools, and I know what these are because, you know, I'm in this space also, but you mentioned Kaizen events as well as the A3 tool. So for those who are listening who've never heard of these things, can you describe what each of those things are? And that's actually a segue into something else I wanted to ask you, which is what are some of your favorite and most effective Lean Six Sigma tools in your opinion? So first, describe what a Kaizen event and an A3 tool is, and then if you could kind of lead into some of the other tools that you really like to use in your day-to-day Lean Six Sigma work.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So I'll start with the A3 tool. A3 is essentially, you know, just a sheet of paper, but it's A3 size sheet of paper, which is 11 by 17. So the sheet of paper is really kind of what people identify with, but on that sheet of paper is an agreed-upon approach to problem-solving. So most A3 templates will start with defining the problem or the opportunity that the team's going to tackle, and it moves into sections around defining your goals, assessing your current state scenario, analyzing your future state, or analyzing the root causes, and then identifying future state, and then coming up with the ideas to test for improvement, and all of that will be on one sheet of paper, essentially.
Mm.
The Kaizen event represents we call them rapid improvement events, is probably a more common term in healthcare, but it's traditionally built around like a 3 to 5 day work session where teams come together, and it's a very well-facilitated event where they're working through, again, the problems or the opportunities. They hash through the barriers to why those problems exist. They'll brainstorm solutions, and if given enough time, they'll even go and test a few of those ideas right there on the spot. The hard part in healthcare, because it is, you know, one of those traditionally manufacturing approaches to improvement, we can't shut the hospitals down for, you know, a week or 24 hours to test things. So that's kind of where it differs from the traditional Kaizen event model, is that we come up with the ideas and then we have to plan on our implementation timelines. And traditionally you'll see them from 15 to 30 to, you know, 60 or 90 days, but the same concept on the front end, get people into a room for 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, and problem solve. And it is the best use of time. So that's one of my favorite problem-solving methodologies, is actually a Kaizen event, because you can do so much in such a small amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
For my tools, that is, you know, my two tools that are almost, I'd say, a non-negotiable on every project that I work on. The first is, again, a gimbal walk or a waist walk with the teams that we're, you know, the teams that I'm facilitating. And for that, it is, you know, having a pretty well-crafted template that outlines the 8 wastes of lean. So I prefer the acronym Tim Woods, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Tim Woods. Downtime is the other one that's pretty popular.
Yes.
But Tim Woods stands for transportation, is the T, inventory, motion, waiting, overprocessing, and overproductions are the O's, and then the D is for defects, and then the S is skills. So if you get a team together, have them go out into the work environment and observe for those categories of waste, that alone starts a really great brainstorming, a really great process improvement initiative. The second non-negotiable on a project with me is a process map.
Yeah.
So we call it process improvement, right? If you think about back in the days before GPSs were really popular, when folks went on a road trip or a journey, they had a map. And so that's the analogy that I use for process maps. It's the same thing. We, as quality improvement professionals, we'll call a project a journey, and so you need a map to get you from point A to point B, from current state to that future state, and that's what the process map is all about. It's being able to visualize the process that you're working on and work through the, you know, the entire project to come up with a more ideal state.
I love it, and I totally agree with everything you've just said. And I'm trying to put myself right now into the shoes of people who may be listening, where a lot of this may be completely foreign to them, or they may be listening and saying, well, I've heard of these things before, but how can I actually apply these principles that you're talking about right now to my business?
Absolutely. Well, you know, the way that I try to approach all of my coaching engagements and the projects that I work on, and this is, again, the way that I try to approach business, because being an engineer, you know, we're taught very technical terms and very technical approaches, but the reality is the folks that we partner with, they're not engineers. So, you know, doing a process map, for example, how do you apply that if you're not trained in it or certified in it? What I'll coach people up on is get a sheet of paper, and on that sheet of paper, write bullets, right? It's step one, I do this. Mm-hmm. Step two, I do that. You can bullet out a process map, and then it's really just kind of listing out your workflows. Everything else behind that is just, you know, putting it into the right diagram. So if it's the process box and the arrows pointing to the next step, but that's the simple part of it. But it is to your point and to your question is, how do we make process improvement an everyday mindset so you don't have to go get additional certifications and training, but you can still utilize the tools? And I think that's where, you know, finding experts like yourself, partnering with folks, in quality improvement roles can help push a organization forward.
That's an excellent point, and it reminds me of another interview with Tony Curtis, and this was in episode 12, and the whole purpose of that particular interview was to talk about the fact that for so many small business owners and entrepreneurs, exposure to the types of things that we're talking about right now, that's one thing, but then having access to people like us who are experts, let's say, in Lean Six Sigma, for example, that's quite another thing. And for so many small business owners and entrepreneurs, we're thinking to ourselves, oh, my goodness, I definitely can't do this on my own. And the thought of hiring a consultant to do this work for them might seem completely out of reach for them. So I'm curious, Jarvis, what advice do you have for those who may be listening right now who think that this is just completely out of their reach, financially as well as implementation-wise? Where can they go to find people who can help them implement some of these things that you're talking about?
Now, it is, it's a lot easier than they would think. So some of my favorite resources around all of these topics, quality improvement, process improvement, strategic planning, there's a really good resource called the American Society for Quality, ASQ. Their website is asq.org. A lot of very practical information. They provide books, webinars, and a lot of, just-in-time training resources, if that's a way to describe it. they also do a number of chapters across the country. So here in Atlanta, there's a very active ASQ group. So those are, that's a hands-down, easy resource that comes in a number of different formats. Meetups. A lot of us quality improvement folks, we like to get together and talk and share. And, if non-quality improvement people can identify those meetup groups, those are great ways to just go say, hey, I'm not a PI person, but I have PI needs. And a lot of those meetup groups, they will consult right there on the spot and just offer advice. And, it's a really good way to network, if nothing else. And then, again, I think it's not to knock any of the big consulting firms, but I think finding small business owners like yourself and my team to, again, come and partner and at least do those initial assessments to help take the first steps towards quality improvement. So, those are the kind of the ranges, the free resources through the ASQs, the face-to-face resources through networking. And, again, here in Atlanta, there are a number of meetups with respect to project management, to, quality and process improvement and so forth. And then just finding some of the smaller groups that really thrive off of the more personal touches versus the larger consulting organizations. I think those are really good ways to start the process.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's actually a great segue into my next question for you, which is just any additional resources that you can think of that would be useful to people, again, who recognize they may not have the skill set, or it may not even be that they don't have the skill set, they just don't have the time to do these things themselves, and they recognize that they should just try to seek out the subject matter experts who are good in some of these different areas. So you mentioned ASQ. You also mentioned the meetup. You also mentioned the templates that you can find for tools like the A3. And I'm assuming, even templates might exist for the best practices in conducting a Kaizen event. Where can people find these types of templates?
That was a tough one. I personally, again, would always point folks to ASQ. The reality is Google, if you Google any of these particular templates, you'll find a lot. But then it becomes information overload on what's a good one to follow and so forth. So that the templates in general is kind of a tough question. But so I'll kind of redirect your question if that's okay.
Sure.
I think the opportunity, again, if you're coming in brand new or if you don't know what you don't know, right? If you're trying to figure out, is my organization at a point in which I need to start assessing the operations and thinking about quality improvement, I think it's just, again, tools like ASQ. I'll be honest, YouTube is one of my favorites. So, just finding really quick videos that introduce the topics. If you're thinking and you're wondering, do I need to map my processes and do I need to focus on measuring my processes? So we haven't even talked about things like balanced scorecards and other tools that connect my performance metrics back to my strategic plan. But, YouTube is a really good tool. If it's okay, I'd like to say one of my favorite books about quality improvement in general. So again, if an entrepreneur or a business owner is thinking about, do I need quality improvement? there's a really good book by one of the quality gurus named Philip B. Crosby, and the name of his book is Quality is Free. And in that book, he does a really good job of laying out the cost of quality. So if I'm an organization and, you know, we have our operations running and there's failures and defects within the operations, I need to make a decision. I can choose to do nothing, and that's going to come with a cost. Or I can choose to put in, you know, some medium fixes, appraisals and audits and things like that. But the reality is those things come at a cost as well. Or I can choose to come up with permanent improvements and fixes. That comes with a cost, but that cost is always going to be more cost effective to the other cost. But it's a really great book. For a quality guru, I always appreciate the way he writes it. It's in a way you can read it almost like a normal book. It's not overly technical, but it still makes the same points.
I'm going to have to check that one out. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, and it's funny because the book, I think, was written maybe early to mid-70s, and I still hand it out with teams that I work with today, especially my CFOs and my financially-minded team members. They eat it up because, you know, that is so far away from their world. But when, you know, the book that highlights cost of quality and operations and the impact that it has on your organizations, my finance folks love it.
Well, this is awesome, and you've shared some really great information. How can people get in touch with you, Jarvis?
Oh, absolutely. A few different ways, really. My website, www.qualitycoach.org, is just a really quick introduction to some of the work that me and a few of my associates can pull together. But my email is jarvis.gray@qualitycoach.org. And then I'm very active on LinkedIn. So if anybody just looks up Jarvis Gray on LinkedIn, hopefully you'll find my picture there.
Okay, awesome. Any other parting words or advice that you'd like to share before we wrap up? I know it went by really fast.
Yeah, super fast. Well, again, thank you so much, Alicia. Anything I could do to continue to inspire, you know, your audience or provide information, I look forward to that chance. You know, one of my favorite quotes is by Dr. Martin Luther King, and it's, "You don't always have to see the entire staircase to take the first step." So go ahead and take the first step. And for that, for all of the folks in your audience, when you're talking about your operations and your ability to serve your customers, you know, don't think you have to have all these certifications and designations. Just take the first step and start to plug in with some of those different resources. Go find somebody and just ask more questions. That quality improvement has never let an organization down.
Amen to that. Well, I'm just, again, just so grateful and thankful and appreciative of you and the work that you do. And thank you so much again for stopping by and speaking with us today. You know, as we spoke yesterday, for those of you listening, Jarvis and I had a one-on-one meeting yesterday, and we were just talking about, again, just how unfortunate it is that we don't have more of these types of conversations in everyday workshops and webinars and conferences that pertain to small businesses. And so, unfortunately, these things often go ignored, and it's not that people don't want to do these things, but if it's not talked about and you don't have the exposure to it, then how will you ever know that it's something that you even need to address and take care of? So thank you again for the work that you do, and for I now have another partner in crime.
There you go.
In this crusade. Yeah, so thank you again, Jarvis.
No, it's my honor. Thank you as well.
As a reminder, business infrastructure is about linking the people, processes, and tools to your company's goals in a profitable, scalable, and sustainable way. Jarvis has shared some great information with us today about how to do just that, how to link the right people with the right processes and the right tools specific to the healthcare industry. But if you listen closely, you can apply a lot of the tools and techniques that Jarvis mentioned to your business. In fact, I'll attempt to quickly recap some of the things that we talked about during this interview today. Number one, this is really about problem solving. At the end of the day, don't get so caught up in the jargon of Lean and Six Sigma and acronyms and all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, this is about quality, performance, and problem solving. Assessing culture, number two, is something else that Jarvis mentioned that's really important in setting the tone for your process improvement initiative. Some of his favorite tools that he talked about are the Kaizen event, the A3 tool, Gemba walks, and process mapping. Again, it's all about being able to identify and eliminate to the best extent possible the different types of waste. And Jarvis shared with us two acronyms, Tim Woods and Downtime. Be sure to download the episode so you can go back and understand what those different types of waste are. Lastly, he gave us some information about ASQ, meetups, a book, Quality is Free, and the fact that you can Google a lot of the templates that he talked about today, as well as look up how to use those templates on YouTube in the form of a video. If any of this resonates with you, or if you want to learn more, definitely reach out to Jarvis. Again, his company's website is www.qualitycoach.org. He can also be emailed at Jarvis, that's J-A-R-V like Victor, I-S, dot Gray, and that's Gray spelled with an A, so G-R-A-Y, at qualitycoach.org. You can also look him up on LinkedIn. And you can learn more about creating business infrastructure as well as how to maintain it in my new book, which is called Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. It's available worldwide on most online retail stores, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And don't forget about our website, businessinfrastructure.tv. Here you'll be able to not only listen to and download this episode, but you'll be able to reference specific things that Jarvis mentioned today in the show in the notes, as well as comment on the episode. Again, that's businessinfrastructure.tv. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.